On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Whether you're listening here on KKNW AM 1150 radio in the Seattle area, on Transformation Talk Radio Live, or in one of the various places this ends up, including ChristineUpchurch.com after the fact, wherever and whenever you're listening from today, you're going to be grateful you joined us because we're going to be talking about a subject we haven't really tackled before, and it's a very important subject. But before letting you know what that is and who our guest is today, I want to say hello to Mr. Benny Mathers, who does his technological magic so you can hear these wonderful conversations.
Hi, Christine. You're such a tease today.
Oh, I like to do that. I don't know. It's...
You do too. Look at you. You're smiling from ear to ear.
I got a devilish side. What can I say?
It's the springtime. I think it's the season.
Yeah, could be.
Or maybe you just do it 365 days a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I look like a good girl, but I got a devilish side.
Here it all comes out right now.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited about our guest today, Benny, because this is somebody I've known for a while, and she's got a variety of gifts to share. And I found out about a documentary that she and her partner and husband created, and it is a powerful movie. And I'm talking about Cher Saffron. And it's really interesting because she's a former hospice interfaith chaplain. She's an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church. And after 16 years, she set aside her ordination to pursue an integrative spiritual path through multimedia production. Boy, we need that. Her business partner and husband, Rob Saffron, has over 35 years' experience as an IT software engineer. He's a very talented producer, videographer, and a creative entrepreneur. Together, Cher and Rob own Satori 7 Productions, a conscious multimedia production company founded in 2006, now doing business as Cher Wisdom Network. You may recognize that from some videos, some video interviewing online Cher has done, she and Rob together. And recently, she and her partner, husband, created a very important documentary. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that came about. But it's looking at end of life and making the choice to end it as opposed to waiting for nature to take its course. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Cher Saffron. Hey, Cher.
Christine, this is a dream come true. You have been one of my heroes for years. You've been doing this for 6 years. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it's really fun to be here with you in the studio with Benny and to have this opportunity to talk about this really important topic.
Yeah. So I'm grateful to have you here, and I know that you're a wonderful interviewer in your own right, but I really appreciate you having being on that side of the mic because this documentary that you created, I think is going to help many. But before actually talking about its distribution and the message that's out there, I want you to talk about the personal story that got you to begin this filming.
My parents, who were 88 years old, had all their lives, for as long as I knew them, had talked about death very easily. Mm-hmm. My mom's dad was a minister, and so he did a lot of memorial and funeral services.
Right.
My father was a doctor, and he obviously experienced many patient deaths, and in his studies as in medical school, they talked about death and dying, and he understood the process of the body. So for them, they were independent people who were dedicated to service.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to make a difference in the world, and they did, but they always knew that when it was time for them to leave, if it was at all possible, they wanted to be able to make the decision on when and how.
Uh-huh.
They always talked about wanting to die together, hand in hand, and it was kind of this chuckling thing.
Right.
And a year ago, a little over a year ago, it happened that both of them were diagnosed with terminal illness.
Oh, my goodness. Each, both at the same time.
Both. My father first had advanced Parkinson's, mm-hmm. cancer, and was not thriving well.
Right.
And my mom had heart disease and advanced heart failure. Mm-hmm. And although in the film you don't really notice that with her because she really rallied for this uh-huh. opportunity. But when my dad was diagnosed with and put into hospice, my mom went to their doctor who they'd talked to years before and said, look, we want to use the death with dignity law, uh-huh. if at all possible. They were living in Oregon, and Oregon and Washington both have the death with dignity law, which allows them to take medication at a time of their choosing after they've been diagnosed with 6 months or fewer to live. Mm-hmm. So mom went through the process of being determined, by two different doctors. Yes, she was within 6 months of dying herself. Uh-huh. And because she had and dad had talked about their desires all these years, it didn't come as a surprise to us that they wanted to use the death with dignity law.
Right.
We, as a family, were able to come together in a week before they passed,
uh-huh.
from Africa, from across the country, and some living in Oregon as well. We got together and celebrated their 70 years together, mm-hmm. and had an amazing day. We started filmed that, Rob and I did, uh-huh. filmed that for the family, and then started capturing on our cell phones conversations in the subsequent days
uh-huh.
for the family.
Right. Now, let me just pause for a moment here.
Yeah.
I know that as a hospice interfaith chaplain, you too were used to dealing with that end stage of life.
Very much.
You know, being there when people transition. But this is your parents we're talking about. It takes it to a different level. Can you express a little bit about, the emotions that came up for you as they were exploring this possibility of ending their own lives?
Lots of emotions. Mm-hmm. And what's really fascinating in hindsight is I did almost all of my grieving before they died.
Oh,
you know, most people, it's after they die and then you go through all that. But the grieving was in the months ahead. We knew for months that this was coming.
Uh-huh.
And so able to talk with each other about it among our families, to talk with our mom and dad. And it was surreal in some ways, mm-hmm. and absolutely normal in other ways.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of tears, a lot of laughter. Our family just always had a way of finding the humor.
Right.
And
your father in the video, I have to tell you, your father seemed absolutely hilarious. Even though he was having a difficult time speaking, I could tell that he had a great sense of humor.
He really did. And he loved telling jokes. And he loved being the life of the party that way. And so he continued, even, like you said, he got to where, with the Parkinson's, he couldn't speak very well. But when he did say something, it was always, you knew he was listening to every word.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did everybody in your family have the same kind of perspective, sort of letting go to their decision, or was there some resistance within certain members?
I think there was no resistance, but there was some misgiving among some of the family members. They wished, on one hand, that mom and dad would let their bodies determine when it was time to go,
uh-huh.
but they also were very accepting of the fact that mom and dad were choosing otherwise.
Okay.
And people often say, let it be a natural death. Well, by the time you're on that many medications, mm-hmm. it's not natural.
Right.
They're medically sustained. Mm-hmm. And then using medication to leave actually makes some sense.
Yeah. And we think about how when a pet is suffering, we have the option of euthanizing them. And that's in a situation where they can't really speak to us and say exactly what they want. But, here are two people who were suffering who could not only determine for themselves consciously, this is what I want, with clear minds, but they could communicate it to others.
Yeah, a huge gift. And they've been supporters of the right to die for decades. Uh-huh. And Compassion and Choices is the political group that has helped to pass the law. I think there's 7 states now that have death with dignity and many more working toward it.
So Oregon, Washington State is one as well, right?
Yeah, I made a list because I knew I wasn't going to remember. So Oregon and Washington, Vermont, California, Colorado, District of Columbia, and Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Hawaii just recently, last month or two. Yeah, and more working toward it. And it's a rigorous process to be eligible to use the medication. And so I know there are people who fear that people will be forced into using it, mm-hmm. or that they're just depressed and so they want to leave now, but if they could get through that period, they would stay. Well, they're already diagnosed with 6 months or fewer to live. Mm-hmm. That is the number one qualification. So you're already dying.
Yes.
Some people want to stay as long as possible. Mm-hmm. Bless their hearts. And I totally understand and support that. But some people know their life is complete, they're ready to go, and they'd like to go on their own terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a fascinating topic. We're going to go to a quick break, but stay tuned for more of this very important conversation about death with dignity, making the choice, and perhaps even making the choice to go together.
To me, we're ready now. Loved ones are here, and God is near.
Please join us for a transformational conference with 5, that's right, 5 of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit seattlehealinghypnosis.com for more information.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Love was a good show, love. The curtain closes. our roses. The crowd stands, they wave their hands, they wish us well as we exhale. And tonight we bid farewell to times we flew and times we fell.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. That is a beautiful song. Cher, please tell our listeners what that song is from and who wrote it.
That song we use as the theme song for our documentary about my parents, which is called Living and Dying, A Love Story. And I mentioned that our family got together a week before my parents passed and celebrated their 70 years together. My daughter, Jennifer Emmerich Caton, when she got home after that gathering, she said, I walked into the apartment, I picked up my guitar, and I wrote this song.
Oh.
And it makes me shiver just to think about it. Mm-hmm. Actually, when I hear that song, that really helps me get in touch with that deeper emotion that you were asking about.
Right.
And it was just so beautiful, and she wrote it for her grandparents, so to be able to use it in the documentary was really precious.
And it's so beautiful at the very end, because I was listening to the beautiful music and the lyrics, and then watching the images of their lives together, their life together, as they went from very young and vibrant to more elderly, and what a wonderful gift to give them and to give the family to write that song.
It really is. It's called Tonight We Bid Farewell. And I've had lots of requests, you know, how do I get that song? It's at Ian and Jen music.com. I think Jennifer Emmerich Caton is the writer, and she has it on her website. Yeah, and did a beautiful job. Her partner Ian harmonized with her at the end song.
It is a beautiful song. And I have to tell you, if you're going to watch this documentary, which I highly recommend, have a box of tissues nearby. Because it's interesting to me to have watched you and your siblings and the medical personnel interacting with your parents, and more with your mother, just because she could verbalize her thoughts and her feelings more because of your father's Parkinson's disease. And it's done so matter-of-factly, and it was interesting because there was this lighthearted sense of it at all as well, kind of like, this is our decision, and you know, okay, this has been a good run, and your father, he made some joke that you included early on in the documentary about how what did he say? Something about how it wouldn't be any worse on the other side or something?
Yeah, let's see, at the beginning I asked him if we can use, my friend Joyce Greenberg, who's here, and she's an amazing woman here in Seattle, acupuncturist, hospice acupuncturist, actually, and an interfaith chaplain at Harborview. And she's the one who said to me, Cher, if your parents would permit, if you could use this footage that you're gathering just for your family and actually make a documentary about their choice and their lives, I think it could really help a lot of people. Uh-huh. So I was asking my dad, I'd asked Mom, and she had said yes, and I said, Dad, would it be okay if I used this, your story, mm-hmm. to share it with my friends or the public? And he said yes, and he said something like, things are so bad right now, can't be any worse on the other side, or something like that, and we both just kind of smiled at each other, and he always had that attitude, you know, it's probably better.
Right, yeah, right. So I know that people will have a lot of questions about this if they or one of their loved ones is getting ready to make such a choice. What are some of the issues that your parents had to go through, some of the questions they had to be asked or ask themselves, and what questions did you go through as a family to get to this point of deciding and accepting the decision?
Well, they both needed to feel like they really were complete with life. That, and I know they both did soul searching on that. You know, are we leaving too soon? And there were times in their lives when I think they thought, hey, you know, time to head out, but they never did. My mom had cancer, went through horrible experience with chemotherapy,
oh dear,
and actually ended one one session early because she just could not tolerate it, and she was ready to leave. Uh-huh. And we talked with her and said, you know, the chances of you being able to survive this are pretty good, the statistics, and if you'd be willing to just hang in there. And she did, and she did survive several years beyond that. Mm-hmm. So that was really moving. But at this point, you know, once it was really clear, to them, and it was clear to almost all of us, mm-hmm. they really were done. They had completed amazing lives. They did not have anything to look forward to in the next few months mm-hmm. that would give them a reason to hang in there for another few months.
Right, such as a wedding mm-hmm. or a yeah, birth right. of a grandchild. Or
right, and in fact, my dad's Parkinson's was advancing to such a degree that there was some concern, would he be able to swallow the medication? It's liquid. And if he could not swallow it himself, of course, he would not be able to use it.
So they wouldn't be able to inject him with
no.
anything. Oh,
no.
my goodness. That's interesting information.
Yes. The person who uses Death with Dignity medication has to administer it themselves. Okay. Someone can hold the cup and he can use this, but he has to swallow it. There's no causing the death of another. It's up to the person.
Interesting.
So there is a window of time. And people with Alzheimer's, for instance, even if before they get really bad with their Alzheimer's, even if they say, I want to use Death with Dignity, by the time they would be eligible, they don't have the cognitive ability to say, yes, I'm of sound mind, which you have to be able to say.
Right.
So that loses the window of time, too. So there are really restrictions to mm-hmm. be able to use this. But for those who are eligible, it's such a relief. And many people are eligible, they get the medication, and then they opt not to use it. They just having it, knowing they have that
right.
opportunity makes all the difference in their sense of well-being.
Having some control
exactly.
over the end of their lives.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems really important. Now, back in 2011, my father died suddenly of a heart attack. Mm. And my mother had been battling congestive heart failure off and on for a couple of years. And she ended up passing 16 days later after my father had passed.
Oh.
And I know as their child, it was kind of like a double whammy, losing both parents so close together, and yet there was some beauty in the fact that they went together. How did you and your siblings and you guys as kids handle losing both of them at once?
Again, it was the gift of being able to grieve with them and talk with them and celebrate with them before they left.
Uh-huh.
There didn't seem to be any sense of unfinished business within the family. Mm-hmm. At least that's I haven't heard of anyone saying, gee, I wish I had said.
Right.
So, and then to be able to celebrate with them, which is what you usually do at a memorial service when they're not there and talk about stories and all that, it was not easy ever to then not have them around to hold and to call on the phone.
Sure.
But knowing that they are together, just like you said, my sister Geraldine, who was very involved with their care, even for the last many years because she lived nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband, Dan, and my husband, Rob, and I were able to be with Mom and Dad when they left this earth. Mm-hmm. End of Life Choices is a group that's in every state that has Death with Dignity. And we had a volunteer from End of Life Choices who helped us. And they put together the medication, and they were with us then when Mom and Dad were together. We brought Dad, who was in extended care, 24-hour care, we brought him into Mom's apartment where they used to live together, and they were laid down on their bed. They took the medication, and they held hands, and they passed.
Wow.
You just fall asleep. You just fall asleep into such a deep, 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 deep sleep. You don't know what else is going on. And my mom passed within 15 minutes. And my dad passed an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
And there is such a thing as a beautiful death. Mm-hmm. To see them hand in hand and to have been able to say goodbye and to be able to be there as witness and feel that sense of divinity all around them
right.
was such a gift. And I feel them with me now. I really do. I don't feel like they're gone. I think my mom helped me edit the film. As you know, she had her opinions.
Yes, I could tell that from her interviews in the documentary.
Yeah.
So, I know that this is controversial for some people, and we can get into that more in a little while, but I know that there was some discussion about what to tell people. It's like, okay, they'd made this choice. They knew that some people would probably judge them by choosing to end their own lives, and if they both went at the same time together and it wasn't something like a car accident, then it's a little suspicious. How did you guys handle letting friends and loved ones know about this?
Well, we had quite a discussion about that, my sister Geraldine, Mom, and I, and we actually included some of that conversation in the film because we know that families go through the same thing we do. Uh-huh. And Mom and Dad were actually very open, willing to just tell everyone, this is what we're going to do. Uh-huh. They didn't want to have to answer the questions, what about, and to address the issues that some people would say, this is wrong and all that. So for them, they were willing to share that information, but they weren't interested in going through the drama of any of it with those who might not be comfortable.
Sure.
So it was really helpful for them to have this after the fact shared with the public, which is what they wanted. So we grappled with, you know, did they die? They just died peacefully in their sleep, or we thought Dad would die first because of his advanced Parkinson's, uh-huh. but Mom did, and or Mom passed, and not surprisingly, Dad passed soon after. And how do you explain this without saying they used the death with dignity law and felt very comfortable doing so?
Right. So what did you end up telling people?
Let's see. We wrote something and put it on the door where they lived. And then my mom had sent notes to her friends that my sister passed out after they died.
Oh.
And she explained the situation and told them how much they meant to them. And so it was. It was that Dad had advanced Parkinson's. Mom had heart failure. Mom passed, and not long after Dad passed.
Mm-hmm.
And
which
how much
happens anyway, like, you know, what happened with my parents.
Yeah.
It's like when they've been together for so many years and their health isn't the greatest, they're elderly. When one goes, oftentimes the other one follows quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think they actually lived as long as they did to be there for each other. My mom was legally blind, so my dad was her eyes. My dad was, I don't know if there's such a term as legally deaf, but he was so hard of hearing. We used a microphone for his hearing aids for him to be able to hear us at all. And so she was his ears. So in so many ways, they didn't want to leave each other because they were each other's help, and they adored each other. So I think they lived for each other. And if either one had passed first, the other one, I have no doubt, would have just followed quickly.
This is such a beautiful story. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how this documentary and the story behind this is spreading like wildfire. What's going on out there this has really struck a chord. Stay tuned for more with Cher Safran here on The Christine Upchurch Show.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com. defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern. And for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
They love us so more than we could know. Let's not go far from where they are. Our life a blessing, no more to ask for.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking to one of the creators, producers of Living and Dying, a love story, Cher Saffron. And it's interesting because this documentary about your parents choosing to end their lives at age 88 when they're both in ill health seems to have struck a chord. Let's see, there was an article written by Jonelle Alicia, I think is the way you pronounce her name. She's a journalist with Kaiser Health News. It was picked up by over 46 news outlets, including Time Magazine, The Washington Post, USA Today, and more than 48,000 people have watched your video. Why do you think this is striking such a chord?
I'll have to tell you, I was completely overwhelmed. In fact, I was told, brace yourself, Cher. This is really controversial. Uh-huh. You are going to get so much pushback. And you need to feel really comfortable in your own skin when this goes public. We have had hundreds of responses, and every single one except one has been only loving and supportive and grateful, and wow. They tell their own stories, and they tell stories of how their loved ones maybe were able to use the law, uh-huh. or wished their loved ones had been able to use the law, right. And thank you for helping move the dial forward for other states that are trying to pass it. I was really floored, uh-huh. and also because the film is, you know, mostly from our cell phones. It was not intended to be, we're a production company, so we're used to doing higher end
sure.
productions.
Yeah, I've done some filming at your studio. It's like fancy camera set up and good lighting. Yes.
Yeah, so I was really hesitant to put this out, uh-huh. And thinking, well, it's just this little family video, and for the few people who will watch it, mm-hmm. it might be really helpful.
But so, I have to tell you, as a viewer, it looked like a professional documentary.
Oh, thank you.
It didn't strike me as, smartphones have gotten to be really smart because it did not strike me as though it wasn't done professionally.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And so what we realize is the time is now. Uh-huh. This is not the controversial topic that people thought it would be. There are people with dissenting voices, like the one message we received, uh-huh. a dissenting voice. But it's not the massive dissension that I expected. I think people are recognizing, as my mom said, they don't worship life. They didn't worship life. Mm-hmm. It's the quality of life that counts.
Say that again, because that was such an important statement in the
yeah,
film.
Yeah, she said there are a lot of people for whom they could not make this choice. Mm-hmm. And for those, blessings to them. She right. had no problem with them. But she said, we don't worship life. It's the quality of life that counts. Mm-hmm. And so that need for to ring out every minute on this planet,
yes,
is not what was important to them. It never was about living. It was about how they lived, mm-hmm, and how they gave,
right,
and how they shared. And they were complete.
It's such an inspirational story. And I know that you originally recorded this for your own family's sake. And I also know that there was plenty of film footage that ended up on the cutting room floor, so to speak, you know, referring back to those days when you actually had to splice the film. Was it difficult to work as a producer and editor to determine what stayed and what got cut out?
Yes, and I have to thank my friend Joyce Greenberg, who I mentioned earlier, and my sister Geraldine Marler, who were wonderful consultants for me. It was much longer, and we just kept cutting and cutting and cutting to what was important.
Mm-hmm.
There's other footage for our family to share as we wish, but I didn't want it to be so long that people would hesitate watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted enough information so that some of the myths about death with dignity would be resolved, mm-hmm, and that some education... In fact, it was shown at a hospice team recently in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And the director mentioned that he was so impressed that the team was being educated without even realizing it.
Uh-huh.
It's a love story.
It is. And it's a beautiful video. It's entertaining. There are times when it's heartbreaking, but mostly it's heart opening.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That's a nice way to put it. Yeah, thank you very much.
So yes, and there was information in there, and I was, I was surprised about how you just go to sleep, and it wouldn't be, the body wouldn't go through something that was traumatic. Like you hear about people taking sleeping pills and getting, so sick and having a horrible end of life. And I've watched, one of my cats get euthanized and saw some side effects from that. And to hear about how quieting and calm the whole process is at the end without the pain,
yeah,
was actually quite a relief to learn about.
It was a huge relief for us too. And as the volunteer from End of Life Choices explained, on films, you'll see people gasping their last breath or, uh-huh, agonizing, and there isn't any of that. You fall asleep and you're deeply asleep, and you don't even lose your bowels. I mean, they were ready to wear Depends and, mm-hmm, all that, and she said, nope, none of that. It's just you go to sleep, uh-huh, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah, very comforting.
So I know that you deal with more than just the human aspect of this, because I know that you've got beliefs that make you embrace whatever happens after we die. Did you have a conversation with your parents about sort of connecting after they passed?
Yeah. My dad was very matter-of-fact about death. I think there's not much after this. Mm-hmm. And but of course, the closer he got to dying, he was kind of open to the possibility maybe, uh-huh, there's something, but it's okay if there isn't. And Mom, too, she thought there would be something. And as she said, I hope we just get to keep learning. And
I
have a feeling
they... Oh, I love that perspective.
I know. I'm pretty sure she is still learning.
Uh-huh.
So I had said to them, if you can give me some signs, use a blue feather or a purple feather,
uh-huh,
and I'll recognize it.
There aren't a lot of blue or purple feathers out there.
No. And I said that, and my friend, I share this in the film, only I don't tell it very well in the film, but my friend Joyce, again... her mom passed, and when they were at the viewing, Joyce's sister went up to look in the casket. And just then, Joyce's phone rang, and it was a phone call from the sister who was up at the casket.
Uh-huh.
So when her sister came back down and sat down next to Joyce, Joyce said, your phone just called me.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I don't know how it could have. My phone is in the car. So Joyce knew that her mom had instituted that, and she said, so don't restrict your parents on how they can communicate with you. Now they can use technology on the other side.
And yet you were very specific. You said,
but I said blue or purple feather. So sure enough, after they passed, Rob and I went to one of their favorite restaurants, and we sat in an area we'd never sat in before at the restaurant, and there, uh-huh, were windows with a river next to the river. And right below the window, there was a duck with purple feathers.
Oh.
And it just sat very serenely the whole time we were there. And I kept thinking, purple feathers. I've never seen a duck with purple feathers. Uh-huh. And sure enough, ever since then, I have looked. And they're blue and green, but I have never seen purple feathers. We even got that duck on film, and at the end of our documentary, I tell Mom thanks. Yes. But then not in the film, when it was my father's birthday in August, that morning of his birth, I went to the kitchen, and right outside the window, we have a railing of a little deck. And never before, and never since, but a bird flew and landed on that railing, and it was a brilliant blue bird.
Wow.
And the bird stood on the railing, and I looked at it, and I said, "Happy birthday, Dad."
Aww.
And that bird just kept looking at me, and then it flew away, and I never saw it again. But I have no doubt that was my dad saying, mm-hmm. "Hey,
That's
we're
great.
Good."
So, has this shifted your perspective about your own future when you get towards end of life?
It's actually confirmed it. I haven't had fear of death. Concern about pain or having to leave loved ones, mm-hmm. those are concerns I would have.
Right.
Concern about the other side, no. You've had guests who've experienced coming in. Coming back from the other side, and I have friends who've had that experience, and there's just, I guess, most of my life I've had that sense of calm about this is just one of the parts of our journey.
Right.
So their experience actually was affirming for me that we are here for a purpose, for a time, and for a season,
yes.
And then there is more to be done, and as Mom says, I hope there's still a lot more learning to
do. Yeah, that's beautiful. And I know that for some of us, we're not worried about what exists on the other side, but we worry about having a difficult or ill-timed death.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a friend who whose mother passed away on a transatlantic flight.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people really suffer as they're dying. And so this, in a sense, deals with both of those fears. You can kind of let go of the fear, and if you are truly ill, you can have some control over making it a more pleasant and easier way of transitioning.
Exactly. Yeah. I know there can be learning in suffering and pain.
Yes.
I also know it's not always necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And when a person feels like there isn't learning in this, it's time to go if I have that opportunity to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Stay tuned for more with Cher Saffron here in just a few moments.
As we move forward hand in hand, they understand that tonight we bid farewell to times we flew in, times we fell. Our memory lives through each one of you.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five. That's right. Five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
As we move forward hand in hand, they understand that tonight we bid farewell to times we flew and times we fell. Our memory lives through each one of you. Oh, and in the days to come, we will rise with every sun and light your way and walk as one.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. If you're listening after the fact, you might be listening on ChristineUpchurch.com. And if you want to be able to share this important conversation later, go to ChristineUpchurch.com to the radio show page. It will the replay will be up within a couple of days. Okay, Cher, so before we go any further, I want people to know how they can connect with you, because I know you've got lots of projects beyond this one, how they can watch this documentary, and also how they can get access to that music.
Well, I'll start with the music because I got the website wrong for them. It's Ian, I-A-N, and Jen, music.com. Ian and Jen, music.com.
And it's J-E-N.
J-E-N, yeah. I-A-N-A-N-D-J-E-N, music.com. And the song is called Tonight We Bid Farewell.
Mm,
yeah, thank
song.
You for that. That's yeah. really cool. And our website is Share Wisdom, S-H-A-R-E.
Not
wisdom.
To be confused with your name, S-H-E-R.
That's right.
Yes. S-H-A-R-E.
S-H-A-R-E wisdom.tv. And we have a link in our menu that says documentary. And that's how you can reach the documentary, which we have on our website for free. You can stream
it's
it
fabulous.
For free. And we do have the opportunity for those who want to purchase a download or the DVD, just $10. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we knew that we didn't want any barriers for people to be able to share in this story.
Uh-huh.
And so having it available to stream is really important to us.
And it's a beautiful video, too. And it's interesting because it's this balance between getting to see into this personal experience, but it doesn't feel so invasive into somebody's privacy. It's somehow you managed to have this delicate balancing act between getting enough information and allowing the viewer to connect with the various people involved, but not to feel like it's gone too far and that somehow we're seeing things and interacting in a way that, you know, we shouldn't be.
Thank you. And I think my parents have a lot to credit for that. They just had an ability to share on a level that was really comfortable, but uh-huh. not so much that people would cringe or whatever.
Right.
They always had a real good sense of that. And Mom's attitude is be open. In fact, she mentioned, I mean, this is the day before she's dying, and she's giving advice on to parents, be open about your finances. Be open about everything.
Yes.
Because after people die, especially after parents die, so often the angst in a family is around money.
Uh-huh.
And it's because people didn't know in advance. And Mom was having us choose, my two other sisters and I, we were choosing items that we would like to have once they pass. I mean, for a decade, we've been doing that. We had this spreadsheet of who gets
what
and all that. I mean, it was hilarious. And our attitude was always, no, you take it. And even after they passed, there were a few things left, and we were still going around the circle. And, if you want that, it's okay. I mean, it was because they were open, there wasn't any competition, and there wasn't any misunderstanding.
Which is important, because I think what happens sometimes, I heard horror stories of siblings who, you know, are dealing with the after effects of a parent or the final parent passing, and they have such conflict they never speak to each other again. I mean, it's just terrible.
It is. It is a tragedy. It is a tragedy.
I know my parents used little sticky notes on the bottoms of figurines, on the backs of paintings, and it got so that we say, well, yeah, that's nice. I'm really glad I got this one, or maybe this means more to you, and does anybody want this?
There was some of that, too.
Yeah. But it's an important piece of it, and I think that depending on the age that parents pass, the kids may or may not be educated enough about finances to understand what to do. But I think that it's great that they were so open about it, because it is so stressful to try to deal with the grief that we experience after our parents pass, but then have to deal with the financial implications of their passing.
Yes. Yes. And there's so many decisions that need to be made right after someone dies.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Right? And here you are in the throes of, often it's shock.
Uh-huh.
And even when you know that someone is passing, there was that kind of sense of full-headedness for me. Joyce gave me ideas of questions to ask my mom when I was asking her questions for the film.
Uh-huh.
So my brain was just kind of full, and my heart was full. It was hard to think sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, even knowing what was coming, but when it's a shock and you don't know and you have all these questions you have to answer and papers you have to fill out, my sister Geraldine did so much of that on our behalf, and really grateful to her for that.
I was surprised at how many death certificates I needed to give to the various financial institutions and I don't know where else, but it was kind of like, oh, you mean we need another one? Like, you know, it's, if you haven't had to be responsible for the aftermath of somebody passing, it comes as a big surprise, all the details.
Yes, it does.
You know, what color urn to put the ashes in. And I have to tell you, when my father loved a place I've got out on Orcas Island. It's a very, very sacred place. And yet he and my mother had committed to little grave sites for their ashes together in Arizona, which is where they used to live. And so, speaking about devilish, I'm a little rebellious. I took a few of his ashes. I said, okay, I want a little urn for scattering the ashes as well, because I'm going to put them in a stream that was so special to him, on land that was sacred to him. Sorry, Mom, but, you know. So if you have some sense of what all you need to deal with, you can make these kinds of decisions instead of being so immersed in all the details. Say, okay, this feels important for me to respect my father to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I know your mom understood. She was probably cheering you on.
Either that or she's still giving me a hard time. I'm not sure which.
My parents donated their bodies to science.
Oh,
so that,
yes,
that made it very easy. And that's what I'm doing too. It's like, let's help people continue to learn. There was something when you were talking. It's interesting, isn't it, though, that we tend to live as if we're never going to die,
and nobody
around us is ever going to die. So I don't need to know any of those things.
I know.
Until it's
after
the fact.
Yeah.
We're funny that way, aren't we?
We are. And it's interesting, because after I split up from my ex, I got a new will made, and I was telling my boys, you know, here it is in this file cabinet, you know, in this envelope. And my son's like, why are you telling me this, Mom? Are you okay with that? This is just something you need to know about. It's a just in case, and it may not be until decades from now, but we never know, and we need to have this discussion.
At least get a living will.
Yes, exactly.
At least.
Exactly. This hour has flown by, and again, I want people to be able to access this video. It's a really important video, and It's enjoyable to watch. Yes, I've talked about getting the boxes of tissues out, but it is meaningful and it's inspiring. How can they reach
you
guys and get connected to watch this video?
Sharewisdom.tv, S-H-A-R-E, wisdom.tv. Mm-hmm. And the documentary link is in the menu on that website.
Wonderful. It's called Living and Dying, A Love Story. Thank you, Cher, for joining us here today.
Thank you, Christine. It's been wonderful.
And thank you for joining us. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.